I'm a nerd, so I could talk about campaigns all day long if you like, but the average voter is probably getting a little bit tired of their mailbox being full of mailers and their TV commercials all being political ads. And that's because $615 million as of today has been spent on ballot measures. And you can expect a lot of confusion on those 12 issues being debated.
Welcome to another NFIB California podcast. These podcasts are designed to be a home for California's small business community to gather and learn more information on the pressing issues of the day from the perspective of Main Street, not Wall Street. I'm Tony Melandro, NFIB California's Senior Media Manager, and I want to begin by thanking the California Tax and Budget Research Project for its support of this podcast series. The project is a coalition of small businesses, taxpayers, and service providers raising concerns about imposing a new sales tax on services in California. Our first podcast in the series discussed the Paycheck Protection Program and whether there will be a second round of loans. Our second one talked about Proposition 15, and this one will look at the California's political landscape this year and next. You can find all our podcasts on the NFIB California webpage at www.nfib.com/CA or on your favorite podcast app by searching NFIB California. For this podcast, we are taking a look at the ballot initiatives coming up in less than 3 weeks. Joining me for this podcast is John Kabatek, California State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB, and President of Kabatek Strategies, a Sacramento-based public affairs firm. Welcome, John. Why don't you tell us about your special guest?
Oh, thank you so much, Tony, and welcome, everybody. I am so excited about today's discussion, and it couldn't be more timely with the election just around the corner for all of us to be able to help you, the small business owner, better understand this political climate. We have 12, count them, 12 ballot measures that are coming up on November 3rd, and a number of them absolutely affecting small businesses, mom and pops, like many of you out there who are our listeners, and certainly our NFIB members, that people are just not clear on what's going on. And right now, during this terrible crisis, the biggest issue we hear from small business owners is, I'm uncertain, I'm unclear, I don't know what the future holds for me. So all the more reason that we are so proud to have this podcast for you today, and such a very special guest that we have with Marva Diaz. She's been a great friend, and I'm so excited, Marva, that you're with us today. Let me take a minute to just introduce her before we have some time to talk to her about these ballots. Marva Diaz of Marva Diaz Strategies is also one of the co-editors of the California Target book. But Marva has been a public affairs and government relations professional with 23 years of experience in both the public and the private sectors. She specializes in California politics to affect change on local and statewide levels by using advocacy and campaign tactics. And she's honed this wisdom, serving the leadership staff in the state capitol for more than 12 years, where I got to know her. She totally gets California politics, both legislative and capital issues, but also what's going on with the ballot this year. And it's a big doozy this year, Marva. So we're excited to have you here. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Marva Diaz with Marva Diaz Strategies.
Thank you so much. Great introduction. I appreciate it.
Welcome, Marva. Let me add my welcome. And let me begin by asking you and then ask John to follow about your take on some of the more important ballot initiatives for small businesses.
I'll just start off by saying how much has been spent overall in some of these ballot measures, because I think the average voter is probably getting a little bit tired of their mailbox being full of mailers and their TV commercials all being political ads. And that's because $615 million as of today has been spent on ballot measures. And you can expect a lot of confusion on those 12 issues being debated. There are a number of things I think that voters are a little bit skeptical about and things they've seen before and they're probably confused about seeing again. The few that have been really highlighted, the ones that have spent the most money, is Prop 22 leads the pack, with $200 million being spent total. Prop 23, which is regarding kidney dialysis, has second in line in spending over $100 million. And then Prop 15, which is hotly contested and a very, very close call here of who is ahead and who is not, called split roll. And that is one that has gotten a lot of attention and has been fiercely fought on both sides for many, many years. So not a surprise to voters at all.
John, what do you think?
I'm just glad that we now understand that split roll is not a bread item in a pastry store. It's good to know that there's more to it than just that. And there clearly is on this Prop 15. It's amazing. I think as we're looking at the money that's being spent on these, it's clearly an indication of the special interests and the influence that are in Sacramento. Clearly the concerns actually that a lot of the business community tends to have, as we're seeing a lot of folks very worried about what the future and the future climate will be for California businesses. You know, it's already a very, very hostile business climate here in the state. And we find that, yes, while there's a lot of larger businesses that are investing in this, and certainly labor unions and lawyers, we're seeing that there's a lot of people very concerned, a lot at stake here. So it's not surprising to me that we're hearing, wow, Marva, I didn't know it was upwards of $200 million just on that one alone. That's wild. But I'm not surprised.
Marva, refresh my memory. Didn't we just vote on kidney dialysis the last election? What is this, going to be a biennial ballot measure?
Yes, you're right. We did just vote on this. And it's one of those issues that is really just so thorny and so confusing. And it's one of those things that most people are not familiar with how kidney dialysis is done. And therefore, they're not really familiar with what this measure means. I think that a lot of people will look to their favorite Democratic Party or their Republican Party or their favorite newspaper as guidance on what to do, because it is so confusing. This is something that all the major newspapers, all 18 of them by my tracking, have opposed. And it's something that's also opposed by doctors and nurses and health associations. So I expect that it probably will fail. And if that is the case, who knows, we may see it again in 2 years. We'll all have to stay tuned.
John, I know that NFIB California and you have been at great pains to point out that Prop 15 is a small business issue in spite of the campaigns trying to tell you otherwise. Is it safe to say that that ballot initiative is probably not only the most important ballot initiative this November, but also probably is more important than any assembly, Senate, or congressional race?
Yes, I think we are hearing so much from the mom and pops out there, the grocer, the auto shop owner, so many out there, the farmers and many others out there who really feel right now that Proposition 13, which was approved by voters many, many years ago, has really been that last bastion of protection and certainty for small businesses in a state that is otherwise highly taxed. You know, California already has the highest statewide sales tax, income tax, gas taxes, high minimum wage. The cost of a small business doing business is so challenging in a state like this that anything that will help protect them, and property tax protections through Prop 13 have been one of the last bastions of hope for them. So when we hear about Prop 15, which is being pushed by largely the labor unions out there to make sure that more money can be coming out of the pockets of the business community, but at the end of the day, we all know that these costs were passed on to small business. And that has happened whether you rent your business or you own your small business. Those costs are passed on to the small business owner who really has nothing left right now. So something's going to suffer. And right now, that's why NFIB's members have been the loudest about Prop 15 and what a disaster that would be for small business owners.
I am curious. Prop 20 is a law enforcement issue. What concern does it have for small businesses?
We have taken positions on two measures, actually, that would affect small business. We met with our political action committee and others and really came to the conclusion that retail theft is a big issue and a big concern for small businesses, especially, I think, these days. Proposition 20, which NFIB has taken the position of support, would actually reverse the number of the California criminal justice laws that were weakened through Prop 47 several years ago, I think back in 2014. And as such, what it basically did is it reduced the number of felonies to misdemeanors. What Prop 20 will do and why we support it is we hear enough from mom and pops out there who are worried about shoplifting, worried about employees and their customers walking to and from their car and being in harm's way. So NFIB has taken a yes position on Prop 20 because it really will strengthen, re-strengthen a lot of our criminal justice laws. It will provide more accountability for criminals out there. It will allow for DNA testing. We believe that's important. And in addition to that, we just think that that's going to keep people safer and make sure small business owners are not in harm's way. Marva, what are your thoughts?
This is a really interesting ballot measure. There are two public safety measures on the ballot, and I think a lot of voters get them confused. But the other thing that I think is impacting Prop 20 this cycle is the addition of Prop 16 on the ballot on affirmative action. Prop 16 has a lot of money in support as opposed to the Prop 20 measure. So I think that with affirmative action and the messages that are out there, it could impact how people vote on the two law enforcement measures that voters will see on the ballot. Prop 20 is just such a confusing measure. And it's one of those where I think that the intent was good and that the drafting is actually really good. However, there is just so much other messages and other noise in the atmosphere that it could hurt the chances of that measure actually passing.
The other ballot initiative I want to turn to, which has, as citizens, we all should be interested in this, and that's Prop 24, which bulks up the consumer privacy law we already have on the books. And I believe, John, that its backer, Alistair McTaggart, a developer out of San Francisco, called you and wanted to discuss the issue with you. I guess he was concerned that small businesses wouldn't get on board or wouldn't fight it. I mean, is there something he said that would allay your fear of this thing passing?
I think one of the things, again, that I keep coming back to, Tony, is that small business owners are uncertain. And with the California Consumer Privacy Act that was moved through hastily through the legislature within a matter of a year and a half, 2 years ago, has put a lot of small business owners at risk of higher costs in terms of what they must produce to the consumer upon demand, but also in the way of liability with plaintiffs' attorneys shaking them down. Marva, you have a lot of knowledge, I think, on Prop 24, and maybe you could share your insight for sure.
Absolutely happy to. I will say up front that I am working on this campaign on the no side, so I will disclose that information. But I have my California Target book hat on, and I want to be really objective here. I think that the reason that the Small Business Association and NFIB, as well as a number of other associations and organizations, are opposing this is because it's just too soon. This was tried 2 years ago. The proponent was going to put a measure on the ballot. It got pulled and passed through the legislature. And since then, there have been a number of legislative efforts to strengthen the measure and to clarify things. And the Attorney General just came out with regulations a couple months ago to implement the 2018 privacy law. So I think that a lot of the small businesses in particular are just so overwhelmed by the amount of money it would take to comply. They just spent about $55 billion to comply with the 2018 law. With this new initiative coming in, it would be really overwhelming to be able to change practices again in order to comply, because obviously our goal is compliance here. I think that that really is, in a nutshell, why the small businesses have such issues with Prop 24, in addition to just the timing. I mean, we're in a global pandemic right now and businesses are struggling. I know that some of my favorite retail shops, for example, still aren't open, and some that are really my favorites in other areas will never open again. So I think it's one of those things where the cost is just too great to manage right now.
You just hit the nail on the head. So many of them are doing everything they can with so many of these government-imposed shutdowns that they're doing everything they can to try and get people to come through the door and make sure that they can get customers. And much of that is online. And people trying to get customers to purchase their products, their services online where they don't usually have the brick and mortar store. But with that, they shouldn't be living in a world of fear. I don't think anybody wants consumer data or any data to get into the wrong hands. We should have a process that works well. But Prop 24 and the Consumer Privacy Act before that just took such a sweeping approach that it really brought most of Main Street into that with higher costs and the fear of liability. So there's a better way to do it. Prop 24 is just not the right answer and why we recommend people vote no.
John, let me just ask you to lead off with your opinion on this head scratcher, because I'm curious myself. Prop 22, which would allow delivery drivers to keep their independent contractor status, which NFIB supports, but NFIB California PAC, which makes all of NFIB's endorsements, they haven't taken a position on this. Why? It would seem unnatural that you would support this.
Let me start off by saying that AB 5, or the Dynamex decision before that with the Supreme Court, was really a terrible, again, we talk about sweeping effects on perhaps with well-intentioned laws, but basically it completely is a sea change, almost an earthquake, if you will, or a tsunami when it comes to the definition and characterization of independent contractors in California and the employer. So we believe that the solutions for, you know, what it has basically done is made it next to impossible. AB 5 had made it next to impossible to be an independent contractor. What they found is both the author and even the strongest proponents now realize that it was a mess. And now what they've been trying to do is create in the legislature a number of exemptions and cleanups that are piecemeal. Let's find a solution that helps all small businesses.
I think you're exactly right, John. I think this is one of those issues where we really just needed to have a more thorough conversation. I think the ABC test was confusing for independent contractors versus employees for a long time. The Dynamex case came out, the decision came out. It made even the most secure independent contractors now employees. And I think that the law was just pushed through too quickly. And I think what happened was that AB 5 went through, and in order to facilitate the law becoming a law, the bill becoming a law faster, a number of exemptions were made. Even then, there were a number of people that were not exempted that wanted to be exempted. So a follow-up bill was made and passed and signed by the governor. And I think what the lesson is, it would just move too fast. There was not enough public input and there was not enough collaboration. And what we're seeing here on Prop 22 is a number of the gig workers, the drivers for Uber, Lyft, and others that want to be exempt. And there's a number of issues that have been brought up on and good arguments to exempt them from being employees. And on the other hand, there's some workers that want to be employees by these industries, these companies. And I think it's just these drivers on each side are being used against each other. So one of those things where I think a lot of voters, if they don't know the background, they don't know all the devil in the details sort of thing, are going to look to people to tell them how to vote. And this is one of those where the major newspapers across California have all kind of come together. 15 of the major newspapers support Prop 22. Only one of them has written against it. There's still a few other newspapers out there, but that is a pretty overwhelming number that have taken the time, have studied the issue, and have said, yes, we should make sure that the drivers can continue driving. But it's one of those where, since labor is so powerful in California and they are opposing this, even though they're being severely outspent, I think this is going to be a really close one. Too close to call right now, for sure.
This ballot does not lack for interest, that's for sure. There are subjects all over it, including the money bail. I guess the bail bondsmen have put this initiative on the ballot. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Marva. And it would replace the current way that we parole people with going back to the old way of having to put up money bail. What are your thoughts on that, Marva? Do you think that there's enough public understanding of the issue?
I think this is probably one of the least talked about and most confusing measures on the ballot, because this is a referendum, which means that a yes vote approves the law and a no vote rejects it. But I think that the amount of money that was spent is $12 million in support. So $6 million in opposition. It's clearly a lot of money, but is it enough money to cut through the noise of all the other larger propositions spending money out there? You know, it's all just so confusing. And this is one of those issues where if you don't really pay attention, you could accidentally vote the wrong way strictly because it's a referendum and not an initiative statute.
John, is there a small business side to this issue of money bail?
Yeah, so this is one also that NFIB took a position on, and we do take a firm no position on Prop 25. And frankly, we're joined by all of the leading ethnic chambers, the California Business Roundtable, other business organizations around the state, local chambers, the NAACP. We have Latino Unity Project, the State Sheriff's Association, the list goes on. It's leaving the very communities they were trying to get out in jail longer. We've seen this disaster on the East Coast in New York, which is why they reversed the zero bail, but they tried zero bail here for a while months ago. That was stopped, all because you're going to have more dangerous people out on the street. And again, the very argument that it would help get people out of jail sooner is bogus, because we're finding that the way it's designed will actually keep them in longer, which is why NFIB also opposes Prop 25.
You know, Marva, I had mentioned earlier that here we are again voting on a kidney dialysis ballot initiative. Well, here we are again voting on rent control and stem cell research. Is this just going to be a recurring ballot initiatives for all three of these things?
I think that the answer is yes. We will continue to see the same issues popping up again and again. And to your point, Prop 21, which is the rent control statute initiative, is really one of those things where we've seen it before. In fact, 60% of the voters rejected a very similar initiative just 2 years ago in 2018. And I think that some of the proponents of the measure were pushing to have it on this ballot because of the coronavirus and because of COVID and because of the economy, thinking that voters would support a measure more this time because of the downturn economy. But I will note that most of the major newspapers, 20 of them by my count, oppose the measure. Only one of them supports. The opposition is really a wide range of opposition. It's the NAACP, it's senior advocates, it's taxpayer associations, it's small business associations, including NFIB. So rent control and allowing local governments to establish rent control on residential properties, who knows if it actually has enough legs this year to pass. But it's one of those things where if it doesn't pass this year, I do think we'll probably see it again. I mean, there's a lot of money being spent on each side. It's $40 million so far in support and 50 something million dollars in opposition. It's pretty split. It's a lot of information for voters to absorb. And I think that, just as you said, they'll think, didn't we just vote on this, and get a little frustrated at the polls this year.
John, you know, I haven't read anything that small business had a position on this stem cell research initiative, but I think you might have some small business concerns with Prop 21, the rent control initiative. What would they be?
First of all, I think what we are finding with small business owners that historically had most of our membership really feel strongly about the concerns associated with rent control. Again, I tend to put this one in the category of the law of unintended consequences. Even with those who really feel like we got to make sure that there's rent control, we got to make sure that we're protecting these people who are the tenants of these homes, residences, and ultimately we see with small businesses and home-based businesses from higher costs. But at the end of the day, what people don't think about, especially in this COVID economy and COVID time, we are finding that, you know, you're not thinking about the property owners as well, who are small business owners. I think a fair approach to tenant dollars and those who house them is always worth a discussion. But completely creating, what, more than 400 different local rent control agencies adds to the budgets, and which means higher taxes to folks who are going to be paying locally and statewide. If the Prop 21 passes, we will then no doubt see even more vacancies, because the owners will just throw up their hands even further and say, I can't absorb the cost. I just got to sell.
Before I ask both of you for some closing remarks, I do want to say that anyone can subscribe to the California Target Book, by visiting www.californiatargetbook.com. I will say that the Target Book is the go-to source for anyone interested in the political dynamics and the legislative dynamics of California. And if you want to learn more about small business and NFIB, you can visit our national website at www.nfib.com. And we also have a webpage for California at www.nfib.com/CA, or you can spell out California if you want. So let me just conclude by saying thank you, Marva Diaz of the California Target Book and John Kabatek, California State Director for NFIB, and ask if you'd like to make any closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it. This has been so much fun. Again, I'm a nerd, so I could talk about campaigns all day long if you like, but this has been really fun. I think that just in a nutshell, just to build upon that theme you were saying earlier, this is a very complicated ballot. I think there's a lot of money being spent on both sides, big dollars, breaking records. And I think that we'll probably see it all again in 2 years because redistricting is going to happen, which means that we may lose seats and that we may have new races that will have to be battled out in 2 years. And anything that may not pass on this round, on this ballot, we will most likely see again. So definitely, voters, do your homework. Feel free to call me, email me, subscribe to the Target Book. I am happy to talk politics with anyone, anytime. This is a really fun experience for me, so I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
John, your final thoughts?
Well, first of all, I would like to say a very, very, very heartfelt thank you to Marva, who just proved once again she's brilliant in this area. You've done great just sharing a lot of that good wisdom with us. And I think most importantly, what it means for you out there, the small business owner. We at NFIB always want to make sure that we're taking positions and we get feedback and those decisions from you, the members, from our members out there, who made it very clear that, yes, we should vote no on Prop 15 because it's a higher property tax that small businesses can ill afford. That we should vote yes on Prop 20 because it will actually help restore criminal justice and safety to our streets and to our small businesses. That we should vote no on Prop 21 because rent control, higher rent control costs and other costs for small businesses are going to hurt small businesses and their families more than anything. And then also on Prop 24, that we should vote no, because no vote means that we should not, when we're already still trying to figure out the existing privacy laws that are just kicking in, we shouldn't be creating a whole new costly bureaucracy that's going to further put small businesses at risk. And then finally, we also are encouraging people to vote no on Prop 25. Prop 25 would eliminate bail, would get rid of about 3,000 bail agent companies, small businesses. So we certainly encourage people to go to our NFIB website, where there is a voter guide on our California page, where you can learn exactly how to vote, not just for the ballot measures, but for important congressional and legislative races and the candidates that have proven to be the very best for Main Street. So Marva, you're awesome. Tony, thank you so much for being an amazing moderator once again on these. And I would also like to again thank the California Tax and Budget Research Project, which has been the sponsor of this set of great podcasts to make it all possible. We know these can't come out of thin air. And I also finally want to say thank you to all of you out there. Be involved with NFIB. Create a stronger force with our small business leader organization. Get involved and get your ballot filled out and make sure that we give Main Street more than just a fighting chance to survive, that they can break through this and make sure that they're successful and that you are successful every single day. So thank you again, and we look forward to our next great discussion.
To our listeners, if you'd like more information, please visit us once again at the NFIB California webpage at nfib.com/CA, where you will find this podcast. And you can also search for them wherever you get your favorite podcast by searching NFIB California. Look forward to your joining us for the next podcast. Thank you.